Hello and welcome into Camel Call Live, brought to you by the Fighting Camel Club, and we are coming to you from our new home this season, the home of the live podcast. We are at Napper Tandy's Public House and Restaurant in downtown Anger. With first-year Camel head football coach Braxton Harris, I am Chris Haymeyer. We got a great show for you tonight. The father of modern Campbell football, former head coach Dale Steele, is here. And our women's soccer team is on a three-match win streak. They are undefeated in conference. And their head coach, Jeff Gross, is here as well. It is hard to believe we are already a third of the way through the football season. It seems like a lifetime ago, but the last time we sat here in these chairs, we were getting ready for the first game of the season at Liberty. That was a game in which Campbell football went toe-to-toe with the Flames, who are still undefeated, by the way, defeating ECU last weekend. You led them in the first half, Coach. It was a two-score game in the third quarter, and then you followed that up by doing something that no other team has done in the history of Campbell football, going up to Western Carolina and beating the 17th-ranked Catamounts 24-16 for Campbell's first-ever victory against a ranked opponent. It is a win. As you can hear, Coach, that was a couple of weeks ago. It's still reverberating today.
Yeah, it feels like it was a month ago or 2 months ago, but those are exciting things. We're excited about the progress. It's fun to look back on where we've been. Like we said, a month ago we sat here, and a lot of things have changed in the process, and we've continued to get better. It's exciting to see what it looks like from a month from now.
The last 2 weeks, you have hopped right into CAA play. You've played two conference games already, the first on the road at Rhode Island, then last week at home versus Stony Brook. Two close losses. The injury bug has really bitten you guys over the last couple of weeks. As you look at this first third of the season now, what do you see and what's your analysis of it?
Yeah, you know, playing conference games this early in the season, we're probably one of the few CAA teams that already has two games under our belt. And so the CAA, we've learned a lot of. It's got to be a physical play a game. I mean, you look at the Rhode Island game, you look at the Stony Brook game, it comes down to five or six football plays a game that's going to cost you or going to win a football game in that piece. And so it's exciting for us to learn. We've learned a lot about ourselves. You look at these four contests that we've had, beating Western Carolina was a great win for us. But you look at the other three, our guys have fought their tail off. We've had opportunities to win ball games. When you're a young team, you have to be in those spots over and over again, and our guys are going to continue to get better in those spots.
A thing that has been your credo since you have gotten here, fourth quarter. You said this team has to be better in the fourth quarter. This team is better in the fourth quarter, keeping you in a lot of games and fighting to the very end.
Yeah, you know, right now we're sitting through four games and we've scored 16 points in the fourth quarter and we've only given up 20. You know, you take that a third of the season, if you sit there and you average those numbers out, giving up, that's 60 points in the fourth quarter. If you look what was done last year, we gave up 105 points in the fourth quarter. And so our defense has played really well. I think our offense is continuing to get better. We've had so many of those new pieces that we've had to add into that. The injury bug has been a part of that piece, and so it's been a moving piece of it. I think that's going to continue to get better as we go through this middle half of the season.
You never make injuries an excuse, but I will a little bit for you. At the end of that Stony Brook game, or I should say from really early in the first half on, you were down to your fourth string walk-on redshirt freshman center among the starting running back wasn't there and everything. You guys were really, really banged up, particularly on that offensive line.
Yeah, and the fun thing was if you look at that team and you watch the film on Sunday, those guys played really hard. They gave us a great opportunity to win a ball game. If we don't make some mistakes, we're right in there to be able to go win it. Even with the opportunities that we gave them, we got an opportunity to get an onside kick and go win the ball game at that place. And so the exciting thing is when you build a program, you got to think about the experiences those kids are in. Think about the moment, the learning that they're getting from that opportunity. And sometimes you only learn by experience. And think about they're getting better week in and week out because they're getting those experiences and they're coming back to the fight. And so it's exciting to see, like you said, we kind of break it up in thirds, that we've already had one-third of our season. This is the middle third. We're excited to see what this third holds for us.
Well, it's been very exciting the first part of the year, and the best name in football, your wide receiver, Sincere Brown, he's in the top 10 in the country in receiving yards. He has nearly 400 already. He's in the top 30 in receptions with 22, a couple of touchdowns. What makes this big, long wide receiver so special?
I think you just nailed a lot of them right there. Big, big, long, tall receiver that jumps really high and
yeah,
runs really fast.
Yeah, 6'5" is pretty good, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think the kid's done an incredible job of buying into what we've asked him to believe into. He's bought into the culture. He plays his tail off. I thought Coach Kubik, our offensive coordinator, has done a fantastic job of finding different ways to get the ball. You know, the other night we threw him three fades, and one of them was a PI, and that's what he's starting to get. Is he's starting to get the game come to him where if we're not catching it, we're getting 15 yards on that piece. But then we also threw him a little tunnel screen. We threw him a hitch and found different ways to be able to find and get him the ball. You know, when you put a guy at one place and everybody knows where he's going to be, defenses are able to make adjustments on that. And I thought they've done a really good job moving him around with some motions, being able to get him ball in that spot.
Well, not only that, but when he's getting double and triple teams, that opens up your other experienced wide receivers. You had some good guys coming back that have caught some balls lately, Chaney Fitzgerald, R.J. Jackson, and V.J. Wilkins. If two or three guys are on him, that opens him up under the middle, and you've been exploiting that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, VJ's done an incredible job, and just being able to, you know, if you look at the film, we put VJ in the backfield, we put him out as a single receiver, we put him out at a slot receiver, and I think that's another thing. If you watch Coach Kubik's offense that he's able to put together, I just think he does a really good job creating matchup problems for somebody else. We're learning about who we are. We're learning about how to get the ball to certain guys in those spots. And so that's the thing. I'm really excited for these next four ball games because I think we're at a place that we can really exponentially grow fast just because of the past experiences that we've had.
Well, you mentioned that, always changing things and adjusting to what the defense is giving you. So last game against Stony Brook, you know, they were clamping down on Fitzgerald, Jackson, and Wilkins. So here he is, a tight end, and Aiden Valdez, who caught four balls last year. He has already caught that many last year, including two for a touchdown in your last game against Stony Brook. Just incredible.
Yeah, Aiden's done a great job. You know, Aiden's one of these kids that got in the transfer portal after springtime. Just like many of these kids are getting in the transfer portal, and he chose to come back to Campbell because he felt like he wanted to be a part of something. He wanted to continue to build in that piece. And so we're so excited about what he's chosen to be able to go do. I think this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg for Aiden. He's gotten so much better blocking on the perimeter. You know, we do a lot of things with our tight ends and 11 personnel, splitting them out wide, getting them in the box, and him being able to be versatile in that place and being able to be dynamic with the ball down the field. You know, it just stretches the defense laterally, but it also stretches it vertically, which puts stress on it.
Quarterback, Chad Masco Jr., Mike Chandler II, you have two pretty darn good quarterbacks, but as you have told me many times during this season, that is a blessing and it's a curse at times.
Yeah, you know, those kids have done some good things in that spot, and I think both of them have earned an opportunity to play football on Saturday. Both of them are different, right? I think Chad has thrown the ball really well recently, being able to spread the ball. He allows us to get the ball in space to certain guys. You know, this week in practice, just watching him throw the football, I thought he's had a really good week of practice throwing the football. You throw Mike into that mix, and Mike's just a different type of quarterback. He's a different runner. With us losing Mark Briggins at our running back, you know, Mike gives us a slasher kind of running back in those spots, being able to get the ball out in space. I love our duo package where we get both those quarterbacks on the field. I think that makes it really hard to defend. I think it's fun to watch with those guys. And so I think you're going to continue to see those guys continue to grow and develop, and we're going to continue to develop packages and ways to be able to get the ball in their hands.
So we can expect to see both of them back out on the field.
Absolutely, 100%.
Let's go to your defense. Quite frankly, your defense has been incredibly consistent, and if you take away your game against FBS, Liberty got away in the fourth quarter, which they do, FBS versus FCS, but this is a team in the three FCS games giving up a total of 20 points per game. That would put them in the top 20 in the country. That's darn good.
Yeah, I think Coach Daniels and his staff done a great job. You know, one of the things those guys are doing is they're playing hard. And on defense sometimes, if you play hard and if you run to the football, you're going to create turnovers. You look at those games where we played really, really well, we've gotten takeaways. And we get that by getting two or three hats there in those spots. You know, our linebackers have done a really good job in that piece. We're starting to get some pieces with our defensive line moving as well. And so it's exciting to be able to see those spots. You know, this week they got a big challenge. This quarterback from Delaware State is really athletic, like we haven't seen an athletic quarterback in these first four games, right? but I think everybody's got one right now,
yeah.
Right? But they've done a great job, and I'm excited, again, to see those guys continue to develop. When you get to 4 weeks in a season, you really have to start evaluating yourself because you have a body of work in those four games. And so you get to look at your tendencies. You get to look at what you've put on paper because you start evaluating yourself like somebody else is evaluating yourself. And so after four games, you have to continue to develop and grow and evolve as a defense and as an offense. And that's probably what I'm most excited to see, our plan to be able to continue to enhance our defense, but then our offense and what it'll look like in the next 4 weeks.
You are a defensive coach by trade, so when you're self-scouting, as you say, over these first four games, who jumps out on you on your defense? Who has played really, really well this year?
You know, I think it kind of goes without saying that, you know, C.J. Tillman has played really, really well. He's played consistent football. Raymond Macias at our defensive line has probably been the most consistent defensive lineman. It's a kid that we were fortunate enough to recruit when I was here before. It's really just continuing to get better each and every week. And, you know, one of the things about football, especially defensive line, is those guys will make the play, but they won't always make the tackle, right? And so the consistency of those guys and those guys, you know, CJ is going to be a senior. He's got eight more opportunities that we're guaranteed this year. But, you know, Raymond is a guy that's still got two more years left in him. And so just the excitement of how we can continue to grow and develop those pieces is fun to see.
It is certainly exciting, and it's an exciting night tonight. We have a lot more to go. If you're listening to us live on the Varsity Sports app or GoCamels.com, get on down here. Gaylord, our mascot, is here. The cheerleaders are here. We are going to give away some tickets tonight. We will be here until 7:30, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Camel Call Live, presented by the Fighting Camel Club, from Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger. Hey, we welcome you back into Camel Call Live from Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger. Hey, if you haven't already, we invite you to join the rebooted Fighting Camel Club. Donations to the FCC help fund life-changing scholarships for our student-athletes. Memberships to the Fighting Camel Club can get you exclusive merchandise, early access to tickets, and even get you on the Fighting Camel Club end zone suite at Barker Lane Stadium. It's the best seat in the house. Head to GoCamels.com. Hit the Fighting Camel Club button at the top of the page. Also, Robin and Nathan are here from the Fighting Camel Club, and we'll give you more information about it if you need it. Go to GoCamels.com for more information. We are back at our brand-new home, Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger. If you haven't been to this place, this place is great. The food is great. The drinks are great. This is a real Irish pub and restaurant, folks. The owner grew up in 100 miles away from Dublin. And if he doesn't, he has a really good accent that he has tricked us all or whatever. We are in downtown Anger, 27 South Broad Street. It's one block away from the big intersection with the Walgreens. And if you want to watch a football game, this is the place. It's just 10 minutes from campus. Speaking of campus, Campbell football back home on campus this Saturday at 2 p.m. versus Delaware State. All the rain will be out of here, and it'll be Bob Barker Day. It's also Celebrate Harnett County Day. Harnett County residents can use the code HARNETT24 for $20 tickets when you buy them at GoCamels.com today and tomorrow. Of course, kids 12 and under are always in for free. Pepsi Tailgate Town will open at 11 a.m. on Saturday, and I promise you, look at your weather app. The rain will be gone by then. It's going to be another good weather day at Barker Lane Stadium. Okay, speaking of, it took us till week four until we finally had a home game, Coach. What did it feel like when you and the guys slept in your own bed on Friday night and then got to come out from that great crowd?
Yeah, you know, we're so thankful for Harnett County and the Campbell community for coming out on Saturday night. It was a great atmosphere for a football game. There were people there early. They were there early. They were loud, and they were supportive right there all the way to the end in the fourth quarter. That's exciting because we can continue to build that. You know, we had people that were out there tailgating and families that were out there tailgating. And, you know, that's what makes Campbell special is the people that are around here in this spot. And, you know, Campbell's an important part of this community. We want to make sure that we provide a service to this community and provide something for it to rally around. And we hope every day that we play at home at Barker Lane is just like that. And we get an opportunity this Saturday. It's a little earlier. So make sure you have brunch and ready to go to the stadium at that point. But we're excited to be able to continue to build that on this three-game home stretch. And our kids love playing at home. They love playing at home against people that have supported them, that are in the community that they know, in front of professors, alumni, friends. That just means so much to them, and they understand that meaning.
Your opponent this Saturday, Delaware State, you hop out of conference. This is a non-conference opponent, an opponent that Campbell has played before. You already mentioned a mobile, all-everything quarterback. What problems do they pose?
Yeah, you know, they're a good football team. They played Richmond last week really, really well at their place, and that's about the quarterback for them on offense. He does everything. You know, he does it with his feet, and he does it with his arm, and he was when we were there 2 years ago when I was here as an assistant, we went up there and he was an 18-year-old freshman at that point in time. Well, he's grown and he's developed, and he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. We've got to be able to try to limit him in what he's able to do. On top of that, they got a running back that's a first-team preseason All-MEAC running back in that spot. And so we've got our hands full on that piece. But in anything in college football, you got to stop the quarterback. If you got a quarterback, you got a chance to win games. If you can stop the quarterback, you got to be able to have a chance to be able to win games.
On defense, what do they do that your offense is concerned about?
You know, they play really hard. You know, you watch the Richmond game, and they wore these baby blue uniforms, and, man, they're just swarming all over the place, right? They'll hop in from difference from evens to odd fronts to bare fronts to give you different looks. But they just play hard, you know. I mean, you turn on the film and you watch them play from the corners to the linebackers to the defensive line. They play really hard in that spot. And so this is a team that has really good team speed, and we're going to have to be able to be physical up front and be able to win the line of scrimmage. That's going to allow us to be able to take advantage of things on the perimeter.
The injuries that we were talking about, they have been plentiful on both sides of the ball for you. Are you getting a little healthier? What does it look like for Saturday?
Absolutely. We're so blessed. Our athletic training staff, led by Chelsea Beers, our head athletic trainer, she does a phenomenal job. For her to be able to get guys back, you know, especially big guys, right? Big guys are like big trees. When big trees fall hard, they don't grow back quick, right? And so for us to be able to get big guys back, and she and her staff have done a phenomenal job. We're going to get some of those pieces back this week and over the next couple weeks. And then going into the bye week after the NC Central game, we're going to have an opportunity to get some reloaded pieces for that last six-game push that we're excited about.
Yeah, it's fantastic. A good prognosis. He's still week to week, but your starting running back who broke his hand, had to have surgery, Mark Biggins, he's getting better every day, isn't he?
Absolutely. And the great thing about Mark is here's a kid that transferred in. He got in here in the summer. And if you walked around, you wouldn't know that this kid has only been here for 3 months. I mean, he's invested in the culture. He's invested in the team. He's invested in this community. He loves it here in those spots. And so because he's been off the football field doesn't mean that we haven't asked him to be a leader that he is. You know, he serves on our leadership council. He's on the sidelines. He's at practice, being able to do all those things. And it truly is that accountability piece that we talk about, responsible to each other for action. He knows that he's still responsible to his teammates for his actions in that spot.
This is the middle of a three-game homestand. Of course, Delaware State on Saturday at 2. Then next week you stay out of conference against a team that's become a little bit of a rival, at least on the field. It has been amazing to watch Campbell and NC Central play. NC Central next week and then a bye week from you guys. What do you want to see from your team over these next two non-conference games at home?
Yeah, we got to get better. You know, the piece that we talk about is, you know, we got to start fast. We have yet to be able to do that. We have got to be able to continue to be able to emphasize that piece. And for us, that's where the persistent piece of our program has to come into. We've got to continue to be able to try to do things over and over and over until we get them right. We got to do drills and we got to run reps until we can't get them wrong, not till we get them right in those pieces. And that will produce results on the first quarter to be able to do that thing. But then we got to be able to get them to the fourth quarter and then be able to win the football game in the fourth quarter. And I think our guys have confidence in what they can do in the fourth quarter. You look at the Rhode Island game, we had a good opportunity in the fourth quarter to do a couple things to get us back in that ball game in the fourth quarter. You look at the Stony Brook game in there, we kicked the field goal on second and one because we wanted to hold as much time as we could for us because it was a two-score game, kicked the field goal. Have a great opportunity at onside. You know, that was invaluable film for us to learn from on must-get stuff. We've already gotten better on that unit just because of those reps. And you think about this is a really, really young football team, right? We've been in opportunities against Western Carolina where we're trying to run the clock out to win a ball game. We're able to do that piece. Those are experiences that you have to go through and how to manage those opportunities. You go against Rhode Island where you get down and you keep finding a way to chip back. All right, you experience of you're down two scores with under 2 minutes left, and you've learned from those opportunities to go down and kick a field goal, have a chance to get the onside, and then be able to go in. You practice all those scenarios all the time, but to be able to get the live game experience, that's huge. And so our reps on the field for our guys may have been small as far as the number of reps they holistically have, but their experiences have been great in these 4 weeks.
And they will continue those experiences the next 2 weeks. I mentioned NC Central a little bit. This is the beginning of the year. It's still kind of hard to figure out where everybody is at, right? NC Central, they lost a fellow CAA member, Elon, 41-19. And then they just blew the doors off NCAA, another conference foe, 66-24 last week. It's kind of hard to tell what the Eagles are going to bring in here in 2 weeks, isn't it?
You know, the coach has done a great job up there building that program, and they're competitive each and every year at the top of that league, and they're competitive with, if you look at the CAA and then the Big South, what it was back in the day, you know, they're able to compete each and every week with those type of teams, and he's done an incredible job building the culture of that program. That program always thinks they have an opportunity to win every single week, and as a coach, if you can get your guys to believe that they have an opportunity, that's half the battle in that. And you know, coach has done an incredible job of being able to build that year in and year out there at Central.
Well, coach, you're having these in the middle, as you said. There's not another CAA team. I think there's one or two others that have played two CAA conference games. Jumping in and out of conference play, non-conference, is that a mentality you have to have, or is it just this team's going to come out and play whoever is lined up against them?
You know, we're thankful for the next opportunity. You know, I told our kids this past week is we got to look at who we are right now. Right now we're 1-3, and we got to improve that. And the next opportunity is this week. Against Delaware State, and we've got to be able to get to 2-3. We've got to get to two wins in this spot before we can move on to the next. And so the reality in our development of a program, it's not a disrespectful thing, but we're focused on ourselves. We've got to get better in this spot, and we can't have our kids looking down the road, looking at this team or looking at this team. Hey, we get an opportunity to play football this week. We get an opportunity to play football at Barker Lane Stadium here at home. I don't care who we line up against. We get to go play, and we've got to look at it as an opportunity and see what the great opportunity we have. And we got an opportunity to get better. We're working our tail off during the week on those things. Hey, let's go play on Saturday in that spot. And so I think that's the mentality our team has. I think we're very focused on what the next opportunity is. And I think our kids are excited and grateful for the opportunity they have in front of them.
Well, Coach, we are excited and grateful for you. We can't wait to see you back out there, you and your team, 2 o'clock against Delaware State on Saturday. Thank you, as always, for the time.
Absolutely. You got the coach that's on a 3-game win streak.
Yep.
I made sure I rubbed on his shoulder so I can get some of that mojo coming our way.
That's right.
So
women's soccer coach Jeff Gross will be up here, too.
I'm excited to see Jeff up here.
Unbelievable plug. Thank you so much. Okay. We will see you Saturday at 2. Campbell and Delaware State, we got a lot more to go. We'll talk women's soccer. But coming up after the break, former Campbell head football coach Dale Steele. Stick around. This is Campbell Call live from Napper Tandy's in Anger. Hello and welcome back to the Camel Call Live. We are presented by the Fighting Camel Club. Hey, the only good thing about being on the road for the first 3 weeks of the season, we have 5 home games left this season, and all of our home game times are family-friendly times. All the games start between 2 and 5. Kids 12 and under are in for free again this year. And this Saturday, 2 p.m. versus Delaware State. Next Saturday, 4 p.m. versus NC Central. Tickets at GoCamels.com. Very special guest is with me up here tonight. We haven't done this in about 12 years, I think, but nearly 20 years ago, Dale Steele was tasked with building a Division I football program from scratch here at Campbell. If that wasn't a hard enough challenge, the Campbell Camel football team was going to be a non-scholarship Division I football team. And Coach Steele not only beat that team, but he built a winner. In 2011, just the 4th season of Campbell football, his Camels won 5 straight games on their way to a 6-5 overall record, a 5-3 mark in the Pioneer Football League. After Campbell, he had stints at James Madison and East Carolina. He is retired now, but beginning last year, he has been working with this program, and we are so happy to see him around again. And Coach, first of all, how are you and your wonderful family doing?
We're doing great. I tell you, this is super. I'm so excited to be here and see all this orange and black. And we got this table full of former players back here and seeing some familiar faces. But we're having a good time laughing and cutting up and talking about the early years when there were very few sidewalks and no stadiums. And we got on airplanes at 4:30 in the morning out of Raleigh to travel to San Diego, and it seemed like we were out there long enough to vote in the California elections. We went out on Thursday and came back on Sunday morning. So it's great to be back here, and this is a special place. And then we knew it when we came here years ago. It had a tremendous amount of potential. As we visited the different communities here, and started to build the program, we found out how excited everybody was about Campbell and how excited they were about athletics at Campbell and how excited they were about the football program. And that's watching it grow and watching it come to where it is today. The guys and I were talking back there a few minutes ago. You know, we started out with about 130 guys. Eight of them we pulled out of the student body. And a lot of these guys back here that they came here on a promise and that they wanted to be the best they could be. And they came here and certainly accomplished a lot to build this program, to put it on a solid foundation. And then Mike came in and, you know, there were a lot of changes with Mike in terms of each year going through the Big South. And then, you know, today we're in such a good position, you know, that we are in one of the four best FCS conferences in the country.
Absolutely.
We are unique, and everybody needs to remember when we started a long time ago how excited you were to have college football this close to you. And we need to rekindle that. We've done a great job. We have good fans. They show up, but we need to continue to grow because this league is extremely demanding. And Braxton and his staff and these players understand it. I was in this conference for 3 years, won a national championship in this conference, and was a runner-up 1 year, and played in the playoffs. And I know how demanding this can be. And the job that they're doing right now of building a CAA program is tremendous. It's a process. It's one brick at a time. When we started here years ago, we said that, you know, it was going to be one brick at a time. It was going to take a little while. It was six games in before we won a game, and then we won another for the whole year. But we continued to get better, and then 4 years later, these guys back here, you know, they had a team that was 6-5 and had won games and had grown and had 35 seniors. And the thing that I'm proudest of is that they're Campbell seniors. They've all got good jobs. They're all over the country. We now have Campbell alumni that played football, scattered from L.A. to Vegas to Dallas, all around. And these guys got their education here, came here on a promise, and have made and been very successful. They're great dads. They're great family people. And that's what we should all be proud of. And, you know, there are three ways that you can support a program, okay? One is by being vocal and by doing it on social media and inviting people to come and be a part of it and be a part of your university and your program. The second way is that you can show up in your presence. You can be there. You don't know how much it means when you invite somebody and we have a big crowd there. We had a good crowd last week, I thought. But we can have a bigger crowd. And there are going to be places in the CAA where we're going to play where there are going to be bigger crowds than that. We need to have the same effect by having everybody in the surrounding communities in Johnson County and Harnett County and Cumberland and south of Raleigh involved and here. Because this is he's talking about it being family friendly. That's one of the things we said when we came here. We wanted it to be family friendly. We wanted everybody to be able to come and enjoy it. I love to see the kids playing during the game. I think that's great because it exposes them to it. And the third way you can support it is financially. Now, everybody can't write those big checks, okay? But you can do one of those things. You can support it either vocally or you can support it with your presence. You can support it by asking people to come, your presence, and then you get these people that do have the ability to support it financially. They get involved in it, and we take a step forward. And that's what we need to continue to do in the athletic department overall, not just football. And that's what Hannah has done, and that's what the athletic department is doing. It's a great place. It's exciting to be around it right now.
It certainly is, and you mentioned our director of athletics, Hannah Bazemore. A big thing that she has brought, one of the many things, is a new thing in its second iteration, but the second annual Campbell Athletics Orange Tie Gala. It'll be held Friday, November 22nd, downtown Raleigh at the Marriott City Center. Coach, tell us a little bit about the gala and why it's so important.
Well, I think it's important because it's the exposure. You know, if you want people to support it that have the ability to support it financially, then the rest of us have to support it by our presence or by being vocal and supporting it and inviting those people. It's not just going to happen. And that gala is a way of people who have the ability to make a financial contribution to help the program grow, to help athletics grow. You're the ones that are going to have to invite them, the people that are out there, the Campbell people that are out there that know them and get them there. Plus, it's a great evening to have a sparkly dress on. And I was telling Jeremy and his wife the other night, you know, I'm going to make Jeremy go out and buy, Hannah a nice sparkly dress for the Orange Gala. And just by being there, though, we all are supporting it. And I think it's so important that we fill that ballroom up. That we show our support, that we don't leave an empty seat, and I challenge our players. I want all you fans to be involved in it too, but I challenge our former players. Have a table. Invite somebody. Be there. Support it by your presence, and if you can monetarily, because it's important for Braxton and Hannah to have that kind of support. For this program to be where it needs to be, and that's to be the best it can be, okay? We want it to be the best it can be. It's no good being the CAA if you're not going to be the best that we can be. And that, when I came here to Campbell, that was what we wanted to be. We just wanted to be the best we could be. And that's what I want to see for this program, and I hope that that enthusiasm will get going again and we'll get everybody involved. And, we've gone through a lot of changes now, but the future is bright.
It certainly is. The Orange Tie Gala will be a lot of fun. Dinner, drinks, one-of-a-kind silent auction items, and experiences. For tickets, head to GoCamels.com for more information. Speaking of being the best, one of the best, I have been around a lot of very, very good coaches here at Campbell, and you are one of the best. Back when I had more brown hair than gray hair, you were very, very good to me, and it is so, so special to see you back here. Thank you so much, Coach.
Well, it was easy. There are a lot of great people here, and that's what makes you want to come back and be a part of it. I knew Nathan when he was a student. My wife worked over in Trust and Wealth Management, and she had a lot of these guys in Trust and Wealth Management, and so it's exciting. I see a lot of folks that are the old generation, the new generation. What we have to do is pull all the generations together and be Campbell proud.
He is Dale Steele, the father of Campbell Modern Football, back around the program. One of the best. Built this thing from the ground up. We'll be back to talk women's soccer. You are listening to Campbell Call Live from Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger. Welcome back into Camel Call Live. We are live from Napper Tandy's. If you miss any of the show, want to hear it again, or listening to us live, this drops on the Camel Call Podcast. It will be up by tomorrow afternoon. Just search Camel Call Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be there. Time to talk some football of another kind. Our Campbell soccer teams are in the middle of a couple of great starts to the season. I say start to the season, they're already nearly halfway through the season. Our men's soccer team, 4-1-4, as they head to Delaware to take on the Blue Hens Saturday at 11 a.m. And earlier this season, our women's soccer team beat NC State. And recently, they've continued those winning ways. They have won now three straight matches. They beat Gardner-Webb. They beat UNCW. They beat Hampton, get this, by a combined score of 13-0. It is a Campbell defense that has allowed just one goal in their last four matches. Campbell is 2-0 in conference, 4-3-3 overall. But of those three losses, two have come to ACC teams, and the other a one-goal loss to a group of five teams. And I told you about the NC State win. Women's soccer will be back in Buies Creek. It'll be this Sunday, so we've got football on Saturday and this Sunday at 1 p.m., a big CAA matchup versus Stony Brook. And joining me now to talk about his team is Campbell women's soccer coach in his third year with the program, Jeff Gross. And Jeff, first of all, tell me about this team and your outstanding play as of late.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me again. This team has they've embraced each other really well, I think. They have been grinding at trying to figure out what their identity is going to be. You know, this, I was telling them, this is almost like a new team and a new program. You know, when you turn over as many players as we did prior to this group getting here, you know, this group comes in and they have to try to figure out who they are. I think they've done a really good job at it. You know, in the early parts of our season, it's hard for us to find our rhythm because we haven't practiced or played enough with each other. But I think we're starting to get to the place where maybe our attacking rhythm's starting to come into play and our defending is always stubborn. And it's been a complete team effort. I mean, I've gotten basically everybody on the field throughout the majority of the games. And I think we're developing some depth right now. So this next little stretch will be the best test because this is what we're getting ready for. And Stony Brook's a good team. So we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that battle.
I mean, you talked about all the new faces. You had an older team. You graduated so much from some very good teams you had the last 2 years. But 10 freshmen on this team, 3 transfers, not only a lot of new faces, but new faces that are making the transition from high school to college soccer. That is a huge leap.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a shock to the system at first for people that haven't played college soccer, but I don't know that they're freshmen anymore. I don't know that they're sophomores anymore.
Absolutely,
or juniors,
yeah,
anymore. They've all developed quite a bit of experience, and they're very easy to coach. Like, they want to get better in practice. And if you want to get better in practice and then you go out and apply it in the games, you generally gain experience pretty quickly, and this group's done a really good job with that.
Defensively, we talked about it, but it's worth repeating again and again. 3 straight shutouts for your squad in college soccer, that's amazing, including when you have 2 conference games in there. What has been working for you defensively?
Oh, I just think time together, really. You know, the back four was good from the jump. Our midfield was trying to figure out how to work in a new system of play, and it took a little bit of time for them to gel a little bit on how we want to defend. And then you then have to include the forwards in that because they defend from the front back. So it just took a little while for all of them to kind of understand how each line interacts with each other. And they've had some discussions as a team that we led, trying to get them to understand what they need from each other. So I just think it's been time. Time is all you really need to get good when you practice really well, and this group practices really well. So then we just had to play enough games. You know, we're 10 games in, and that's about the time where you start figuring out what the identity is actually going to be.
Your identity has been really good up front, scoring goals. The offense has exploded. 13 goals over the last 3 games in this win streak. Where is your production coming from?
Well, like typical, you know, my teams don't generally have one player that gets it done. It generally, you start seeing it from multiple sources, and you're starting to see that now. We're starting to see goals from multiple sources. The forwards are getting a little bit more cohesive with each other. The midfielders are now joining the play and getting in the front third more often. You're starting to see services from a lot of different places. So, and now we're starting to pick up some goals on set pieces. So it's usually a balanced attack with one of my teams, and we're starting to see indicators of that. But you know, you have forwards like Callie Backlund, who's got a ton of experience, and she's got a knack for scoring goals. And Alyssa Tucker's really starting to come along in her second year. And we have some freshmen that are trying to figure some things out. And we've had a few other sophomores that are starting to get in the attacking swing of things. And so I think it's just balance. We just find a balanced approach.
Well, I am going to ask you what makes this group special. I know one of the things is you have about nearly your whole team that is filled in here at this restaurant on a Thursday night. What makes this group so good?
Oh, there's so many things. I think it's hard to pinpoint. But, you know, the tradition here with this team, you know, in recent years has been very strong, right? And there's a lot of things that they care about on and off the field. I mean, they're excellent students. They care about Campbell. They appreciate community service. But mostly what I think about them, they just care about each other. They look after each other all the time. They're enjoyable to be around. But when they get to practice, like, it's no nonsense. They want to get into it. They come and they're focused, and they want to get better each time they're practicing, and then they take it to the games as well, which you really enjoy watching. Like recently, it's been taking what we've been doing, and we can literally see it in the next game. Usually, you see it a couple, 3 games out, but we've been seeing it the next game. So I think it's mostly that they just care about Campbell, and they try to show it in different ways.
This program, you've won trophies, you've stacked them up, and it's been very special, the amount of success that you all have had at home. Women's soccer, their home record in Buies Creek, this is just incredible, 24-7, just four losses in the 30-some-odd games. What makes Buies Creek and Eakes Athletic Complex so special to the soccer program and your team?
Man, it's community for me. You know, we see so many people from in the community that come to the games, and then you get to meet those people, and then they get to meet the players, and then they start getting really, they start to embrace them. I also think the Campbell campus community, you see the teams coming to the games all the time. The head coaches have been putting out to each other, like, when we think there's a game that we could use a little more support from the teams. That's been ongoing since basketball season, and when we put it out there, you immediately get head coaches going, hey, I've told my team, and I'm going to try to get in there. So I think we're starting to see, like, a lot of rallying around each other as well.
Well, so and your women's soccer team last year, for the first year, they had something called the Camel Cup, which is when student athletes went to other games, they kept a record in that, and your women's soccer team was more supportive and at more Campbell athletic events than any team, and they won that at the Cammies. That says something about your team too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we've got a nice trophy in the locker room to show it. It helps that a lot of them are involved in SAC, right? You know, we have the SAC president on our team, and they make it a point of emphasis to want to go support other teams, and they enjoy doing it, right? It's a lot of fun to go watch the other teams play.
It's all conference matches from here on out. As I said, you all are smack dab in the middle of your season, ready to dive into conference where you're already 2-0. You're at home against Stony Brook this Sunday at 1, and then you head on the road to Delaware and Towson next week. Certainly a gauntlet for you at this point of the season.
Well, it's what the CAA presents, right? And, with me, you're always going to find that we're going to want to go play good teams. We played three ACC teams in the non-conference, and we're going to continue to go play good teams in the non-conference, because when you get to the conference, every game is a very good game. And, when I put out my games that I wanted people to come support, it would be easy to recognize that Clemson, NC State, and, yep, Virginia Tech's coming next year. Hey, I said, come to the Stony Brook game. It's the opener at, it's not the opener, but it's the home game against a playoff level team. So you want the support on a Sunday at 1 o'clock, and you try to get as many Campbell people as there, because our kids feed off of that.
Yeah, and when you guys go into conference, this is a rarity that, one, you're able to come here on a Thursday, and I'm glad you are able to and bring your team. But in conference play, you all are playing Thursday and Sunday for now. It's going to be for the next 2 months. That's certainly a challenge. You talk about your depth. You're going to need it to survive.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, I've said it before. It's hard to take a team with 2 weeks of time to prepare for games. You generally do all of your learning how to play in the games themselves. So that's why the non-conference is valuable. But then you get to this point, and now I told the team, I said, if we can play to our rhythm and play great attacking soccer, we do it. But if you can't, it has to be a fight. And that's what the CAA brings every day. Every game is a fight. So we're looking forward to this one with Stony Brook. I think going on the road, I tell them all the time, competitors travel well. They don't care where the game is. They don't care what time the game is. They don't care how long it takes to get there. They just want to compete. So we're looking forward to, the next three. But I think you're going to see a good performance on Sunday, because I think our group's geared up to go.
Come out on Sunday after that. Three more home matches this year. Next up, though, Stony Brook this Sunday at 1 p.m. Matches at home on October 10th and 13th. And then their final home match of the year is homecoming weekend, this Sunday of homecoming weekend, October 27th versus Charleston. Admission to all Campbell soccer matches are free. GoCamels.com has all the information. And when you go to the match, and when the Campbell women's soccer team wins, they will come over to the stands and they will say, see you what? GoCamels.com has all of the information. Jeff, thank you so much for being here. Our women's soccer team, thank you so much for being here, and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody.
Soccer will be on Sunday, football the next two Saturdays, Campbell home versus Delaware State this Saturday at 2, and next week Campbell stays at home against NC Central. That's a 4 p.m. start. Many plans and single game tickets available, 1-877-GO-HUMPS or GoCamels.com. Kids 12 and under free, Pepsi tailgate town 3 hours before kickoff, free parking, We will see you this Saturday in the Creek. Thank you to the wonderful staff at Napper Tandy's. Thank you to Braxton Harris, Dale Steele, and Jeff Gross. I'm Chris Amire saying thank you for coming out. This has been Camel Call Live. Good night.